Hello, today, we're diving into a really practical topic for educators, simulations and roleplay in the classroom. We'll be unpacking how these approaches can build empathy, investigative reasoning, and support real-world decision-making. Lisa, have you used any roleplay or simulations in your teaching before?
Hi, James. Yes, I have, and I absolutely love it. There's just something about students stepping into a character's shoes that brings learning to life. And what's brilliant is that these activities don't have to be complicated or time-consuming. Even low-prep versions can have a huge impact. For instance, I once ran a mock trial with just some role cards and a timer. The students were so engaged.
That's interesting. I think one of the key things about simulations and roleplay is that it turns students from passive listeners into active participants. They actually do rather than just listen, which increases retention. And it's not just about the subject content, it's a way to build really valuable skills. We're talking critical thinking, communication, collaboration, and, of course, empathy.
Exactly. And it's very adaptable too. The learning objectives can be tailored to suit your curriculum. For example, by the end of a simulation or roleplay, students should be able to articulate a character's motives, apply their knowledge to solve a real-world problem, and work collaboratively in teams. Plus, they get the chance to reflect on their decisions and see how their approach might change next time.
Right. And if you align those objectives with your curriculum's competence goals, like knowledge, skills, and attitudes, you're ticking so many boxes at once. What's also really clever is the idea of using simulations as a diagnostic tool. You can actually run the same scenario at the start and end of a unit to see how students' reasoning and solutions have developed.
That's such a practical approach. And speaking of practicalities, the prep doesn't have to be overwhelming. There's a great teacher checklist you can follow. Define your competence goal, decide how you'll assess students, like using a formative rubric or peer feedback, pick a scenario that fits your learning goals, and prep minimal materials. Sometimes it's just role cards, a few slips of evidence, and some paper for notes.
And planning the debrief is key as well, isn't it? You want to make sure students have space to reflect afterwards. Plus, it's important to consider emotional safety. Give students the option to opt out or take a less intense role, and always warn them if there's sensitive content involved.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about some low-prep simulation options. Because I know teachers are always short on time. There's the two-question exchange, which is so simple. You split the class into two groups, each writes a problem or question, and then they swap and respond while the other group listens. It's diagnostic and helps spot misconceptions straight away.
That's a fantastic way to get everyone thinking. There's also the fishbowl setup, where a small group discusses a case in the middle, and everyone else observes, takes notes, and gives feedback. It's great for modeling evidence-based debate and helps quieter students engage as observers.
Yes, and if you want something even quicker, you could do empathy snapshots. You just lay out colored cards representing feelings, and students pick one that matches their character's emotion, then explain why. It's a 5-minute empathy warm-up that really gets students thinking about perspective.
I like that. And then there's the 1-minute role recap. After a role activity, each student has exactly 1 minute to explain their character's decisions and what they learned. It's concise, helps with reflection, and you can do it in small groups to keep things focused.
Exactly, and all these can be used as warm-ups or as standalone activities. When it comes to logistics, you can adapt group size, roles, and timing depending on your class. Smaller groups are great for practicing skills, while larger groups work for panel simulations. Desks can be rearranged into circles or huddles, and even masking tape on the floor can mark out zones for different roles.
And let's not forget assessment. Using a simple 3-level rubric, emerging, proficient, advanced, makes formative feedback really straightforward. You can assess things like use of evidence, reasoning, empathy, communication, and collaboration. What's more, both teachers and peers can contribute ratings, and you can compare results before and after to measure growth.
That's right. But I think the most important part is the debrief. That's where all the learning comes together. Start with an emotions check, review what happened, audit the evidence used, reflect on perspectives, and discuss how the experience links to real life. You can use post-it questions, dice feedback, or the 3-2-1 exit card to keep things dynamic.
Managing emotional content is a big one as well. It's important to avoid real personal trauma or sensitive topics unless you have the right support in place. And if students aren't comfortable acting, they can always take on roles like observer, evidence manager, or timekeeper. Setting clear ground rules and allowing timeouts or check-ins can make everyone feel safer.
Definitely. For those ready to try a full simulation, the mock trial is a classic. It's great for practicing persuasive reasoning, evaluating evidence, and formal oral argument. All you need are some roll cards, evidence slips, witness statements, and a timer. Roles could include judge, prosecutor, defense, defendant, witnesses, jury, and even an evidence manager or clerk.
Let's use the park mural dispute as an example. The case revolves around whether a mural painted overnight was community art or vandalism. You'd have witness statements, like a neighbor who saw the painter and found a note claiming it was for the community. Students take on roles and must use evidence and reasoning to argue their positions.
And what's wonderful is that you can adapt the structure to suit your time. A full mock trial might take an hour, but you can also run mini trials or restorative circles if you're short on time. Plus, you can adapt it across subjects, science ethics, history, literature, you name it. You can even record the proceedings and have students review their own performance.
Exactly. And practical tips make a big difference. Model a round with a teacher and a volunteer first, script anchor questions for students who aren't sure what to say, and use peer feedback to minimize teacher intervention. Rotating roles over several sessions helps students develop a well-rounded understanding.
Don't forget to keep student notes and verdict forms. They're perfect for comparing progress over time. And there are plenty of quick exit tools, like the 3-2-1 reflection, the information ladder, or even a dice roll to answer scaffolded questions. It all helps students consolidate what they've learned.
So, to wrap up, simulations and roleplay truly convert abstract theory into embodied practice. With minimal prep and strong debrief routines, teachers can create repeatable, rigorous learning experiences that build empathy, reasoning, and real-world skills. The best part? You can reuse and adapt cases to track student growth across a whole course.
Absolutely. It's all about applying, reflecting, and iterating. Every time you run a simulation or roleplay, it gets stronger and more effective. We hope this guide inspires you to give it a try in your classroom and see the benefits for yourself.
Thanks for joining. Until next time, keep experimenting and keep learning.
Take care, everyone, and happy teaching.